right, we have your news here on WGN. You don't have to go anywhere else. And former House Speaker Dennis Hastert says he was deeply ashamed as he faced his accuser at sentencing earlier today. Ryan Burrow is live in action. Ryan, where are you right now?
I'm at the federal courthouse. I'm in the media pit right now where we congregate, and we're allowed to take video and tweet and send out stories. We're not allowed to do that in the courtroom. So, you're not going to be able to hear or see much of what was said in court today. Most of it had to be transcribed by hand. And it was pretty incredible, kind of how it shaped out. We heard testimony from a couple victims. One, the sister of a teenage boy who was molested by Dennis Hastert. He has since died of AIDS back in the 90s. And his sister opened up her testimony by reading a letter from her brother kind of in his last years, when she says he was very lonely and suffering from health issues. It was a very deep and impassioned testimony. And she actually called Dennis Hastert out, saying, "Don't be a coward, Mr. Hastert, that what you did wasn't misconduct. It was sexual abuse of a child," because to this point, Dennis Hastert had only admitted to misconduct, never officially saying that it was sexual in nature or sexual abuse. She also said that you were supposed to keep him safe, not violate him. She referenced the fact that he struggled as a child, fitting in and with other cases of abuse, and essentially that Dennis Hastert took advantage of that. The other person who spoke was Individual D. This is Scott Cross. We actually got his name. 53 years old, married, two kids. Said he was a wrestler in Yorkville with Dennis Hastert, who was the coach, and gave testimony and choked back tears, talking about how there was a situation where he was alone in the locker room. Hastert offered to give him a massage and then flipped him over onto his back and began groping him. He immediately got out of the locker room and was embarrassed and didn't talk to anyone about it until the charges were brought up against Hastert last year. So he was called in to testify, and it was actually kind of interesting because it turns out the brother of Scott Cross was asked to write a letter in support of Dennis Hastert in these hearings. So kind of an interesting twist there.
Was asked to, but did he write a letter or did he decline?
It sounds like, after all is said and done, it was declined. There was some confusion there and some back and forth as to what really happened. But so, it just shows you kind of the tight-knit community that they had there in Yorkville in the 70s.
Ryan, can I ask you about that? Because it's been widely reported that there were at least four accusers, right? That there were, and so when Dennis Hastert was asking people to write the letters, if he knew there were four accusers,
Steve, I think it's four surviving and one who had passed away.
Right. Okay. But I'm just wondering. It's as if it didn't even occur to him that Dennis Cross was one of the four.
Yeah, I we don't know about that. In fact, when Zex Barton said afterwards that when they began this investigation, they were only aware of two. It wasn't until more people came out after, and we assume that Cross is one of them, and we don't exactly know when Cross came out and declared and told officials that he had been a victim. I mean, it's possible that when this whole process got started, Cross's brother was alerted, and then later, Cross told federal officials that he was involved in that. We're not sure, but I can tell you that the judge really tried to pin Hastert down. You know, Hastert continued to talk about misconduct, saying he was ashamed, but never really came out and said, what we've all been hearing, that he was a serial child molester. And the judge made no bones about calling him that, and even pressed him, asking, "Do you agree with the testimony of these people?" He said he agreed that he was aware. I'm trying to pull it up right now. He said on the first case, he didn't remember. In the second case, yes. The third case, a different situation, and tried to go into some kind of explanation, which I don't think anyone understood. And in the fourth case, said he accepted, this is Jolene Burge's testimony, saying that he accepted it. And the judge essentially said, "Did you molest him?" And then, that's what Dennis Hastert said, yes. So, he pinned him down and he got him confessed to child molestation.
However, that's not what this trial was for, correct?
No, and the judge admitted, I can't sentence you based on child molestation. But, you know, the whole reason for him being in court was lying to federal agents about these bank transactions. And where were these bank transactions going to? They were going illegally to someone to pay for this hush money, this $3 million that was supposed to be paid out to a victim.
Right.
So, I mean, it all kind of works together in one form or another, and it was definitely used to get that 15 months.
Ryan, were you in the court when Scott Cross spoke and when Jolene Burge spoke? Were you there in the courtroom?
I was in we had a media runoff area with a video feed in there. So I was able to see them physically give that testimony, though their backs were turned to us. And right. They would have been as well if I was inside that exact courtroom.
Could you see the reaction of Dennis Hastert during those accusations?
Yes.
You could. And what was he doing?
Completely deadpan. I mean, he gave almost no emotion, no signal of anything to us. Even from the moment that he was wheeled into the courthouse to the moment that he was wheeled out, he was in a wheelchair and didn't need to use a walker when he stepped up to testify. But, I mean, we didn't see him break down in tears. We didn't see him shake his head and say, no, that's not true, anything of that nature. I mean, he just sat almost like a statue.
And during his quote-unquote apology, he apologized sort of for what he said. For mistreating.
Misconduct. For his misconduct.
For his misconduct. He doesn't use the word mistreating. I thought he said mistreating at some point. He just said misconduct.
I'm trying to go through my notes to see what the exact phrasing was.
I guess you're admitting guilt, but you're sugarcoating it to some extent by saying misconduct or mistreating. You're not saying, I don't know how graphic he would have needed to get during that, but I don't think those words sell exactly what was done. Do you?
No, I think that's why the judge really tried to pin him down, right? Why he called him a serial child molester. Listen to this quote from Judge Thomas Durkin. Nothing worse than using serial child molester and Speaker of the House in the same sentence. He said parents are now going to think twice about the safety of their children because of Denny Hastert. I mean, just some of the things that were coming out of the judge's mouth, were really, really kind of pinning it on him. And really, you know, it kind of gave everyone pause when he said, you know, if these allegations had come out in the 60s and 70s when they happened, you would not have gotten a job as a congressman. You would not have become a House Speaker. So it was your goal, essentially, to keep this under wraps for as long as you had.
That's
so,
what Bill and I were...
Zach Farden commented on that after. He said if people had come forward in the 60s, he would have been called to the carpet a long time ago, and maybe this never would have happened. Likewise, he also pointed out that if Dennis Hastert had just told the truth to the federal agents when they were investigating the bank fraud about where the money was going, we probably wouldn't be in court today. It probably wouldn't have gone as deep as it did. But, you know, he tried to pin it on this individual A for extorting him, and the feds realized that just wasn't the case.
Bill and I were talking about this before you came on the air with us, Ryan, and it's not fair that Dennis Hastert was able to have such an illustrious, great career after what he had done in Yorkville years before. It's just, and now the sentence that was given to him, which is 15 months in prison,
mm-hmm.
And is there, and 2 years of supervised release.
$250,000 fine, and that money's going to survivors of abuse. So I that seems to be appropriate. But I mean, the damage that it's done to, you know, at least the four people who we know of. There may be more who haven't come forward yet. Either they're embarrassed or they don't want to be a part of this media circus that I was a part of. We're just not sure. Or maybe they're just not willing to cooperate at this point. But you know, we know of at least four cases, maybe five or six.
Again, we're talking to Ryan Burrow, who's at the federal building. We're speaking about the sentencing of former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert. Something we weren't sure about, what are the charges that he is charged with? Is it just...
No, it was just a single charge. And remember, this was part of the plea agreement from last year. The charges had been a combination of bank fraud and lying to federal agents. They cut that down to the bank fraud itself, although I do think that lying to federal agents probably played a factor in that, because you're only allowed to, when you structure withdrawals from your bank, you're only allowed to do it in small increments. And he was taking out large increments. I mean, irony of all of this is the law was put into place, the federal law was put into place while he was House Speaker. It was essentially done after 9/11 to try to prevent terrorist networks from swapping funds or drug cartels from doing it. So, in many ways, he almost fell victim to a law that he helped pass and champion.
So with the charges being bank fraud, I'm just I'm glad that Scott Cross and others were able to speak today, but I'm confused as to why they were allowed to speak.
Sure. I mean, this was the judge's decision, and he wanted to know, you know, what the motivation was behind all of this. You know, he admitted, I can't sentence you on child molestation, but we can dig deeper into what was being done and why you went through such an effort to not only, you know, lie to federal agents, but, you know, to try and essentially trap individual A into looking like an extortionist. And the judge just did not take too kindly to that. So it's one of these things where on the surface it seems like a pretty innocent and small charge. And really, to be honest with you, people who are charged with the bank fraud that Dennis Hastert has, usually very few of them spend any prison time. But when you start putting these other things, other pieces on top of it that are connected, that's how you get the 15 months.
Ryan, I think one of the hardest parts of this to fathom is a year ago we found out about Bill Cosby, America's favorite TV dad, and that he had sexual misconduct with, again, allegedly, 40 or 50 women. A year later, we find out that the guy who's the Speaker of the House, who's third in command, it's President, Vice President, Speaker of the House, that he's a serial child molester, is called by his own judge. It just makes you wonder who you can possibly trust when those two people can fool you. Who can't fool you?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great point. And one of the questions asked by a member of SNAP, you know, they've been very vocal about child abuse, and, you know, whether it be in the church, whether it be, you know, among teachers, among any public figures, they've been very, very vocal. And one of the questions that one of their leaders or speakers asked Zach Spartan, who really wasn't able to answer it, was, you know, are we going to, you know, try to change the statute of limitations in any way? You know, I mean, to make it so a lot of these people who are embarrassed to come out when they're in their teens, 20s, 30s, can do so later in life and see the justice that is fit. But, you know, I mean, to this point, and I asked her about it, I mean, was there just a lot of child molestation going on in the 70s? And she said, no, people, not any more than there is now. They don't believe it. It's just that people don't come forward until they're into their adult years and they realize that they were abused. You know, sometimes when it happens, the kids are just embarrassed or don't want to talk about it because they, you know, fear retribution. And, you know, it's not until you become a parent yourself that you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't right.
We're talking to Ryan Burrow. Are you good for time? Can we take a quick break and come back? We have some listeners who have some questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Ryan Burrow, live from the federal building today. After the sentencing of Dennis Hastert, 15 months in prison and 2 years of supervised release, and he faced one of his accusers. We will continue this on 720 WGN. All right. We are talking with Ryan Burrow from ABC News and WGN News, and he is live at the federal building right now. And Ryan, we have a listener, Catherine, who was on hold, who has a really great question as we discuss this Dennis Hastert case. Catherine, what's your question?
Hi, everybody. I'm just wondering, maybe Ryan or Steve can answer, is he, I don't know what level of conviction, but is Hastert still able to collect his federal pension?
That's a great question, right? Because now that he's been convicted and sentenced, I'm sure that those stories will come out. We obviously didn't find that out today, but yeah, that's something that we'll have to find out in the coming days as far as where that money comes from. Because remember, you know, he worked in, and Steve Bertrand, if you're on, you might, he was, what was he in the state? Was he a state representative?
Representative, wasn't he?
He was never a statewide office holder, but in the legislature.
He never held statewide. Okay. Right. He was obviously just a federal congressman. So, but don't forget too, he was also a teacher. So I'm sure there's some kind of pension tied with that.
All right. If he gets his pension, there is something so terribly wrong with everything. I mean, when you break the law and you go to jail, don't you forfeit your rights of everything you've done legally? I mean,
but not necessarily.
God.
Well, but the argument is too that, you know, I mean, that's tied. I mean, for many of us, that's something that you pay into as well. So I don't exactly know what the situation is here, but well, I guess we'll find out in the coming days.
Thank you, Catherine. Very great question.
Ryan, if I may, the move there after the sentencing, did most people seem to believe or feel that he got what he deserved or not enough? What did you, sense was the mood?
It was an interesting swing because the way the judge started, he talked about a 2-year probation supervision. And, you know, everyone said, and then he followed that up with, but I'm going to get to incarceration in a little bit. So it was interesting because he kind of started off with, wait a minute, is there going to be just 2 years of supervision? But then as he kind of started building his case against Hastert and talked about some of the factors that were going in, you could tell that it was going to not end well for Dennis Hastert. I mean, at one point, as I mentioned, talking about trying to set up individual A, he said, he was a victim once decades ago, and you tried to make him a victim again. When that line came out of the judge's mouth, you knew that he was going to be doing some time. Now, remember, at this point, we only thought it was going to be 0 to 6 months. That was the part of the plea agreement. So 15 months is 2.5 times what the maximum was agreed to between the federal government and Hastert's defense team. But, you know, I guess the judge really factored in all these things, including the molestation accusations.
Was his wife, he's still married, right? His wife, Jean, is still around, right?
Yeah.
Was she there for this?
You know, unfortunately, the camera didn't pan to that, so I couldn't tell you.
All right. She was a teacher, I believe, at the same school he was a coach at.
In Yorkville?
Yeah, years and years ago. Yeah. All right.
Oh, a lot of this stuff just surprises me more and more. Bob, we were talking about Denny Hastert's pension. You have a comment?
All right. The federal government would have to cut off, Congress would have to cut off his federal pension. And he was a state legislator. So he would have to, the state would have to, or the legislature again, would have to deny his pension.
Right. I meant to that he wasn't a statewide office holder. He was in state government. I'm sorry.
Right. He was a state representative from the Yorkville district. So he is entitled to a pension from the state of Illinois for his service in the Illinois House. And then also, because he was a teacher for the length of time he was, he has a teacher's pension.
I think that should be forfeited.
You would imagine.
It's not going to be. It's weird situation.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of, as I say, with his Illinois pension, it would have to take an act by the legislature deliberately to cut him off.
Interesting to find out.
See, I don't understand why we always go after people's pensions. You know, and it's always a question people have. You know, this
as a punishment.
Well, he was punished. He was just sentenced to 15 months in prison.
But look at all the years he got away with it.
And fined as well. What, $250,000, Ryan? I think.
$250,000.
I mean, so he was punished for the crimes. It's just interesting that we always go after then the pension as well. Now, maybe a teacher's pension if you can prove that he did this. He was earning a pension while he was committing these offenses. But as far as his pension in the House, I don't see why everything's automatic related to
a
pension.
Because he shouldn't have even been allowed
to
be.
Well, what about, should we take your 401k if you're convicted of a crime? Or if you're getting a private pension, would we go after that?
You know what? If I'm convicted of a crime, I have bigger problems than my 401k.
And so does he.
I guess.
And I've heard people say who you're then punishing isn't necessarily him, but his wife, and he's got two sons, right, Steve? Doesn't he have two sons?
I don't even know for
sure. I think then the argument is you're punishing his family more than you're punishing him.
Well, that's why everyone should behave and be good people so your family doesn't get affected by it.
You would think.
It's just nerve-wracking. All right, Ryan, what about any appeals? Does Denny Hastert or...
He's got 14 days to appeal. I don't exactly know what that process will be. Remember, at this point, we don't even have a day for him to start his sentence. That's something that they have to negotiate as well. Obviously, surrounding all of this is his frail condition. Came in a wheelchair, had to use a walker. It was brought up quite frequently about his health issues, suffering a stroke, a blood infection, or a blood disorder, as well as having a couple back surgeries. He looked frail. I'm sure that his body has really paid a toll over the last few months, and I'm sure that a good chunk of that was emotionally driven. The defense tried to point out, you know, this is an old man kind of at the end of his life, and he doesn't need a real harsh sentence. But, you know, one of the lines from the judge, and I want to make sure that I read it properly, is, and I had it in just a second, he said, your age didn't prevent you from committing crimes. Your age should not prevent you from being punished for those crimes. So, the judge wasn't having anything about his health. Also pointing out that the facilities that he will be put in or could be put in can handle, whatever medications he needs to take or whatever physical therapy he needs to do. So the judge saying this is not a death sentence. It's 15 months. So we'll see what happens in the coming days as far as an appeal.
Thank you so much for covering this, Ryan. Before we let you go, just a quick text. Having known both Scott Cross and Dennis Hastert growing up in the community, imagine how we feel out here. Complete shock and sick to my stomach today. This is small town America. These were our neighbors, and the level of shock and betrayal that we feel on a personal level in the Plano-Yorkville area is beyond belief. Very, very sad day for us. This will take a while for the healing.
Hopefully it gets other people in the same situation to speak up further. If there's one thing that comes out of this, it's bringing it to the front, bringing it into the light. Maybe there are some 15, 16, 17-year-olds that are seeing this kind of thing, and, they should probably go and tell authorities immediately instead of waiting until they're in their 40s or 50s to do so.
Thank you so much, Ryan. We appreciate Ryan Burrow, who is live from the federal building today.
A lot going on today. All right, let's take a quick break. Steve will give you the news and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.